do welcome you all and are glad to have you here this morning. I have two readings this morning. The first comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and the continuing 19 through 21. I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of it. So hear it now, these words. So, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate someone else are liars. For those who do not love others whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this. Those who love God must love others also. We add blessing and meaning to the reading of those words. I also want to go back and revisit a poem that I've read actually a couple of times, but it's such a good poem. It fits perfectly with what we're talking about today. It's a poem by Dr. Kamon Kujori, and she has this to say. They want us to be afraid. They want us to be afraid of leaving our homes. They want us to barricade our doors and hide our children. Their aim is to make us fear life itself. They want us to hate. They want us to hate the other. They want us to practice aggression and perfect antagonism. Their aim is to divide us all. They want us to be inhuman. They want us to throw out our kindness. They want us to bury our love and burn our hope. Their aim is to take our life. They think their brick walls will separate us. They think their damn bombs will defeat us. They are so ignorant they don't understand that my soul and your soul are old friends. They are so ignorant they don't understand that when they cut you, I bleed. They are so ignorant they don't understand that we will never be afraid. We will never hate. And we will never be silent. For life is ours.
This is from a musical for a morning. It is a 12-year-old girl who is just having a tinge of an idea about her sexuality and identity. Thank you. No. I mean, there's no.
This morning is entitled Querying Jesus No More Boundaries. So as I mentioned last week, this month is Pride Month, so I'm spending the month looking at theology related to the LGBTQIA+ community. Specifically, the first three Sundays, we are looking at queer theology, and then the last Sunday of this month, we will be considering what are known as the clobber verses, the six verses that are frequently but incorrectly used to judge queer folks. I closed my message last week with a quote from the Reverend Dr. Patrick Chang, who in his book, Radical Love, Introduction to Queer Theology, says this: God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. Let me read that again a little slower. God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. Now, if that is true, and I believe it is true, then living a life, as I said last week, living a life that dismantles existing boundaries is the very definition of being in relationship with God. And as a Christian minister, I can't help but notice that the life and teachings of Jesus, in them we are provided with part of a roadmap for growing this radical relationship with God that looks like a love so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. I'd even point out that the person that the gospel writers and the early church understood Jesus to be contained the seeds of queerness. Now, for those of you who might have just been a little bit uncomfortable with me saying that about Jesus and queerness together, let's very quickly talk about what I mean when I use the word queer like that. So many of us, if not all of us, grew up in a time when queer was an insult. The word felt wrong in our mouths, and we avoided it. It was meant to hurt people, and regardless of what the children's rhyme says, words can truly hurt you because they are frequently loaded with piercing judgment and soul-crushing baggage. Oh, here's the thing. Things have changed since then. And much like the terms gay and the term black, queer has been reclaimed by the very people it initially intended to hurt. The way I see it, that's pretty much a beautiful thing. Now, my use of the word is based on the work that came out of the LGBTQIA+ community itself, particularly in the field of queer theory, which built on the work of gay and lesbian movements, built on post-structuralist theory, feminism, several others. The important part, in terms of understanding how I'm using the word, is what the meaning of the word has expanded to contain. In looking at how the LGBTQIA+ folks were being marginalized by a dominant society and looking at it, themes began to emerge in the development of queer theory, particularly in regard to social norms and social expectations. Now, while I still primarily looked at it, at that point, it still primarily looked at the questions of sex and gender and sexuality, queerness, it also became a large critique, not just of the false binaries in sex and sexuality, but the false binaries that tried to normalize everything to people who ruled the dominant society. So, while it started off as a primarily challenging traditional understandings of sex, gender, and sexuality, in conversation with other schools of thought who also experienced the very heavy hand of false binaries that marginalized them, schools of thought like Black theology, liberation theology, feminist theology, several others. In conversation with those, it expanded to become a call to deconstruct those false binary narratives in all categories and to dismantle systems that support them. And even better, at least as far as I'm concerned, even better, it was built on a radical sense of love and inclusion. Now, understood like that, let's go back to my statement that the person that the gospel writers in the early church understood Jesus to be contained the seeds of queerness. Within the context of what I just shared with you, here's my statement to say that in the person that the gospel writers in the early church understood Jesus to be, in that person, you can clearly see an understanding that he was a person who sought to break through and to break down all of our assumed binary boundaries and barriers in an effort to open us up, to more of a boundless and inclusive faith. In small ways, it's actually allowed me to regain an appreciation for what our frequently considered foundational understandings of our faith. It'll come as no surprise to most of you that there are parts of our faith that we are told we must claim. There are parts of that whose traditional understandings basically fly in the face of modern scientific minds. Things like Jesus being God incarnate. Over the years, I certainly had to develop my own understanding of how to incorporate those beliefs into my life. For instance, for me, the language of God incarnate, I allowed it and kind of had it become more of a symbolic language, pointing basically to the divine in all of us. Now, admittedly, it felt very true for me, but sometimes it also felt like in interpreting it as a symbolic language, I had overworked the concept in order to make it work. Queer theology provides a much more satisfying theological approach to many of those foundational understandings of our faith, at least as far as I'm concerned. For instance, it sees the story of Jesus as the beginning of a change to how we see the boundaries between the divine and humanity. Now, traditionally, the church has understood the gospels to tell the story of God incarnate. God come down, the divine becoming human. Queer theology extends that understanding. Whether you believe that story as literal or symbolic, queer theology recognizes that. In God becoming human, we are left with an understanding of a God that breaks one of the ultimate false boundaries, the boundary between the divine and humanity. Queer theology sees the story of Jesus placing the human-divine relationship on a continuum that has no either-or boundaries. It's forever changes the relationship between humanity and the divine. They are no longer like oil and water. They mix and they mingle together in the person of Jesus, which sheds light on the potential of that reality for all of us. Among other things, it means God is no longer this ineffable thing so far removed from us that we can no longer be in full relationship with it. Rather, God is also within us, within humanity. All of us, regardless of skin tone, sex, gender, or sexuality, or any number of other things that some folks use to try and distract us from the reality that not only are we all connected, but that individually and collectively we embody the divine. And in our modern world, humanity can feel like sometimes that it's working overtime to keep us all separated and bound up in places in life that can feel sort of meaningless at times. There are so many deepening divisions, and those divisions are almost always, based on some kind of a dividing line in the sand, some kind of dividing boundary or border, created by the powerful people of the dominant culture in an effort to implicate someone as other, as dangerous, as unworthy, as not like me, in order to marginalize them and to further protect the power of majority. And unfortunately, religious texts, or at least religious contexts, are frequently used to justify those mostly binary boundaries of division. Used basically to say, if you aren't like us, you are bad. But rarely is that particular way that Scripture is used ever taken fully in context within the larger theology of the overall text. Basically, it is typically cherry-picked verses used out of context to justify a behavior that a person had decided to have long before they ever read the Scripture. Yeah, frankly, those of us who attempt to follow the teachings of Jesus should take particular offense at that. These binary boundaries of division are the defining lines of injustice, and the use of sacred text to try to justify injustice is unjustifiable. As a matter of fact, I think that it's downright blasphemy. Queer theology does the much needed work of dismantling those messages of division that masquerade as religion and replacing them with theological insights that open us up to a more inclusive world and to a more inclusive love. We all could certainly use more of that in the world. You know, it's interesting looking at the life of Jesus through a queer lens has also helped me in my understanding of sin. Up to a certain point, my best understanding of sin involves sort of the concept of missing the mark, which is the early roots of the word sin, sinning to the left, sinning to the right on a target. And I've come to think of sin as missing the mark when it comes to expressing love through my words and my actions. And that's actually not a bad understanding, but it does call into question what those good actions might look like. Well, I believe that queer theology gives us a more pragmatic understanding to work from, a better goal for what those actions that we should strive for should be. And now, while I do, to some degree, still see sin as missing the mark of expressing love, I see the most extreme sin as being specifically done by reinforcing or refusing to dismantle borders and boundaries that separate us from others. Let me say that again. I see the most extreme sin as being specifically done by reinforcing or refusing to dismantle borders and boundaries that separate us from each other. Sin is anything that separates us from other and God. And all too frequently that separation is defined by false binary boundaries and borders, and they must be dismantled. Dismantling borders and boundaries in response to and as a result of radical love is at the heart of queer theology and at the heart of what it looks like to follow the life and teachings of Jesus. The queerness of Jesus. As Dr. Channing says, God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme it dissolves existing boundaries. As it turns out, that solves another one of those foundational understandings of our faith that I've struggled with, the being saved foundational understanding. I've been a Christian my entire life, and I cannot begin to tell you the number of theology books I've read. I have two different postgraduate degrees in theological study, but I have to say there's really no theology about being saved that I can get completely on board with. As a matter of fact, I find most of the theologies behind needing to be saved to be somewhat ghastly until now. Queer theology has given me a very satisfying understanding of being saved. Now my understanding is that in teaching us to pull down the boundaries that separate us from each other, from creation, and from God, Jesus saves us. Saves us towards each other. And that is not only a theology I expect we can all get behind, but it's also the way that we begin to save each other and the world.
So this one y'all might know, it's called Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Thank you.
I'd like to share with you a prayer, a meditation, an opportunity to hold on to words that your heart, your spirit needs right now. Let's bow our heads together. We've heard the words of the prophets instructing us to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly. Let's turn our hearts and minds to the places in the world where those things sometimes seem difficult to come by. In the struggle for justice for all, in places around the world where there is civil unrest and violence as people call for change, may justice prevail in a way that no one is left behind and no one is taken for granted. In our efforts to love kindness, we are reminded of the divides that the judgment from churches can, has, and continues to cause. May loving kindness be extended not only inside the walls of the church, but in a way that it is extended to everyone outside the walls as well. May we learn humility. May we learn not to feel as if we are more deserving than anyone else. May we stop judging others because they don't agree with us or for not doing things the way we would prefer. May we be reminded that living lives of love and action is part of the prescription for a world where no one must suffer. And may we be inspired to begin doing that even more fully today. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. May your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.